Siegfried had dropped all pretense of calm and was fighting desperately, both arms round the thing, pressing downwards with all his strength. I hastened forward to help, and as I drew near, he whispered hoarsely, "What the hell is it?" Clearly he was wondering if this pulsating heap of tissue was some part of the bovine anatomy he'd never even heard of. Silently we fought the mass down till it was level with the skin. The colonel was watching intently. He hadn't expected the operation to be so interesting. His eyebrows were slightly raised.
"It must be the gas doing this," panted Siegfried. "Pass me the knife and stand back."
He inserted the knife into the rumen and cut sharply downwards. I was glad I had moved away, because through the incision shot a high-pressure jet of semi-liquid stomach contents, a greenish-brown, foul-smelling cascade which erupted from the depths of the cow as from an invisible pump. The first direct hit was on Siegfried's face. He couldn't release his hold of the rumen, or it would have slipped back into the abdomen and contaminated the peritoneum. So he hung on to each side of the opening while the evil torrent poured onto his hair, down his neck, and all over his lovely white smock. Now and then, the steady stream would be varied by a sudden explosion which sent the fermenting broth spouting viciously over everything in the immediate vicinity. Within a minute, the trays with their gleaming instruments were thoroughly covered. The tidy rows of swabs, the snowy tufts of cotton wool, disappeared without trace. But it was the unkindest cut of all when a particular powerful jet sent a liberal spray over the new jacket hanging on the wall. Siegfried's face was too obscured for me to detect any change of expression, but at this disaster I saw real anguish in his eyes. The colonel's eyebrows were now raised to the maximum, and his mouth hung open as he gazed in disbelief at the chaotic scene. Siegfried, still hanging grimly on, was the centre of it all, paddling about in a reeking swamp which came halfway up his Wellington boots. He looked like a Fiji Islander, with his hair stiffened and frizzled, and his eyes rolling whitely in the brown face. Eventually, the flood slowed to a trickle and stopped. I was able to hold the lips of the wound while Siegfried inserted his arm and felt his way to the reticulum. I watched him as he groped inside the honeycombed organ far out of sight against the diaphragm. A satisfied grunt told me he had located the piercing wire, and within seconds, he had removed it. Tristan had been frantically salvaging and washing suture materials, and soon the incision in the rumen was stitched. Siegfried's heroic stand had not been in vain. There was no contamination of the peritoneum. Silently and neatly, he secured the skin and muscles with retention sutures and swabbed round the wound. Everything looked fine. The cow seemed unperturbed. Under the anaesthetic, she had known nothing of the titanic struggle with her insides. In fact, freed from the discomfort of the transfixing wire, she appeared already to be feeling better. It took quite a time to tidy up the mess, and the most difficult job was to make Siegfried presentable. We did our best by swilling him down with buckets of water, while all the time he scraped sadly at his new jacket with a flat stick. It didn't make much difference. The colonel was hearty and full of congratulations.
"Come in, my dear chap. Come in and have a drink."
But the invitation had a hollow ring, and he took care to stand at least 10 feet away from his friend. Siegfried threw his bedraggled jacket over his shoulder.
"No, thank you, Hubert. It's most kind of you, but we must be off."
He went out of the byre.
"I think you'll find the cow will be eating in a day or two. I'll be back in a fortnight to take out the stitches."
In the confined space of the car, Tristan and I were unable to get as far away from him as we would have liked. Even with our heads stuck out of the windows, it was still pretty bad. Siegfried drove for a mile or two in silence. Then he turned to me, and his streaked features broke into a grin. There was something indomitable about him.
"You never know what's round the corner in this game, my boys. But just think of this. That operation was a success!"